Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the NYBS Radio Show, home of the New York Bigfoot Society.
What's up, Footer Nation? Gary Hootenhala here, and welcome to another episode of Bigfoot Radio, straight from the big state of New York. This is going to be a really cool show, all right? We have a special guest with us tonight, and she's going to talk about her encounters and the research that she's done down in the southern part of New York. So we're super stoked to talk to her and basically learn some more about, you know, Bigfoot in New York. You know, the reason that, you know, I started this show was, you know, to have people call in. But basically, I want everyday people that witness these things, that, you know, have their encounters in the woods, to tell their stories, tell about the research that they're doing, you know, and really explore all these different avenues when it comes to the subject of Bigfoot. And, you know, we're very blessed to be able to travel around the, you know, basically the country doing this kind of work. But, you know, we're from Albany, we're from New York. Like, what's this kind of do things in our backyard? So tonight's show is going to be cool, and we're back down in southern New York. So last week we talked about the Catskills, and we're still down in that area. Okay, not so much the Catskills, but we are down in southern New York. All right. I always get amped up listening to that song. It's really cool. You know, that song is actually called Everest, and it was really cool because, you know, May 1st in 1963, Jim Whittaker, a climber from Seattle, was the first American to summit Everest. So it kind of goes well with, you know, the whole hiking theme is, you know, I'm an avid hiker and things like that. So let's get the show started. So let's do clerical first. So we have a couple events coming up that, you know, that we talked about, and we'll talk about them again on June 2nd. All right. I'm actually going to be a guest speaker. It's called the Free Spirit Expo. All right. My parent team, the Tri-City New York Paranormal Society. You'll hear me talk about them here and there. That's my parent team to the New York Bigfoot Society. We'll be down there doing a vendor table. And it's a holistics type fair, an expo, which is pretty cool. It's totally different. If you're into those kind of things, Reiki healers and, you know, energy shamans and a paranormal team like us, we'll be there to, you know, talk and things like that. I'm going to be a guest speaker talking about all things paranormal, called The Cause, The Focus, or The Truth. As on my paranormal team, that is our motto. All right. I'm all about the cause, the focus, and trying to find the truth. And I'm the same way with Bigfooting. Now, they want me to talk paranormal stuff, which I will, but I will be talking Bigfoot also. So I will throw in some Bigfoot stuff there because I always like to. And since I'm speaking, I can do, I guess, what I want. So come down and visit us. It'll be a cool time. It's free of charge to get in. I don't know for this talks and things like that, if there's any extra charge, I have no idea with that stuff. I just know that I have to be there. We'll be there from 10 to 6, all right? It goes 10 to 8, but I plan on leaving probably around 6 because we have to get back. It's a two-hour drive. So with that, July 22nd, we're going to be out in the Gloversville Library. I'll be doing a lecture out there. It's at 6 p.m. We'll be talking all things Bigfoot, all right? So out the Gloversville Library, we'll be talking all things Bigfoot. Come on out. Let's talk. You know, our last lecture was great. I always love meeting new people, talking Bigfoot, talking sighting reports, things like that. It's really nice just meeting everybody. We're trying to get out a lot more in the general public to meet with y'all. So July 22nd, the Gloversville Library. Once again, the ambassadors, I thank you so much. The ambassador program is now up and going. You know, so if you are interested in being an ambassador, feel free to message me on the Facebook Bigfoot page. But yeah, we have our ambassadors are all up and going. We actually had one set of ambassadors out researching the other day, and they sent us a bunch of stuff. So if you're interested in that, that's great. And we'll, you know, basically let us know. It's basically an outreach program. So, you know, it helps us know what's going on throughout the whole state because, you know, we can't be everywhere. So we have, you know, you're the eyes and ears for us. And spots that we can get out to and research and try to get some answers. So that's up and going. Last but not least, what we have is, you know, I'm going to be starting scouting a brand new area tomorrow. So I'm super stoked. I plan on even if the weather holds up since it does seem to like rain every other day here. But rain or shine, I'll be getting out tomorrow for a couple hours. I will be putting up a Facebook Live post about it as long as I get service. A lot of people are always like, well, Gary, you said that you're going to put a post up and we didn't see you. Well, people, I do not always get service where I am. I wish I did, but I don't. But I still will make a video, things like that, just to kind of recap of what we're doing, what we're looking at. You know, we're always trying to get out into the woods as much as possible. Unfortunately, real life at times doesn't always allow us to do that. You know, this isn't our full-time job, but in the same sense, we try to get out there and try to get some answers for you all. So that's kind of what we're going to be doing. Now, I can say that I will be scouting the upper Catskill region. So I'm heading down to that area, which is basically, like I say, like I said the last show, it's a lot closer than going all the way up into the Adirondacks for me. So we will be heading down there. Now, the sighting reports go from multiple sightings by people that live there, possible Bigfoots going into their backyard areas, ravaging bird feeders. And I was like, well, are you sure this isn't a bear? Upon looking at tracks and seeing pictures of tracks, it definitely does not look bearish, but I will not say one way or another until I'm there for myself to see if it's not a bear double step. As we sometimes know, bears make a double step as they bring in their back leg to their front leg, which then makes a huge track. I get a lot of pictures of people that, you know, think that they're looking at Sasquatch tracks, and really, in real life, it's just a bear double step. So, we'll check it out and see what's what. But like I say, I'm super stoked just to get back out in the field, walk around in the woods a little bit, and, you know, get back out in the fresh air, even though I probably will get wet. All right. And big thing that we're starting to do now, so many people, you know, have come to me, you know, keep with their claims, with their, you know, sighting reports. And I thank you, thank you, thank you. I can't thank you enough. Like I say, like it's for a lot of people, this is a hard subject to talk about. But we thank you for, you know, coming to us. And we are starting to get out to these areas now to go out in the woods with you to, you know, check these areas that you had your sighting reports throughout the whole state. It's a, you know, it's a slow process because we have to travel all over the state. But we are now setting up all those investigations. We will have investigation reports. We'll have video. We'll have, you know, radio shows about them. So I'm excited for the summer. We have a lot going on this summer as far as research, and we're, you know, ramping it up big time. So I'm super stoked. So that's basically what we're doing right now. That's the big thing that we're doing. So within the next couple, you know, weeks, I'm putting together multiple basically expeditions out to these areas and just start getting the work really in, you know, backing up the claims that what they see. So that is definitely going to start happening soon. And we'll have, you know, all, as we always do, we'll share our information, you know, put out what we're catching, put out the audio, put out the video. If we're not catching anything, guess what? We're not catching anything. Unfortunately, you know, a lot of people are like, well, you guys go out, but how come you don't have anything to show? We do not catch everything at any time. And that's the thing. People think that we're out there all the time and we're catching stuff. It doesn't work that way. 9 times out of 10, we get absolutely nothing. See a lot of other sign from animals, you know, coyotes, deer, bears, things like that. But, you know, Bigfoot evidence is so hard to come by. So we keep it real. We, you know, that's kind of what it is. What you see is what you get with us. And, you know, we'll only put out stuff that we think is, you know, cream of the crop for us that we agree on. So, yeah, so get ready for that. You know, this is going to be a busy summer for us. We're going to be all over the place. All right, enough of me speaking. All right, we're gonna bring in our guest. Her name is Diane, and we're gonna basically she's gonna talk about all her stories and encounters. So let's bring her in. Diane, you there?
Hi, Gary.
Hey, Diane, what's going on?
A lot's going on down here.
Awesome, awesome.
Bigfoot research and a lot of evidence we're getting.
Awesome. So you're with your son Michael, right?
Yes.
Yeah. How you doing?
What's going on, Michael? How you doing?
I'm doing good.
Awesome. All right. So let's just kind of talk. We're just basically gonna have a chit chat. So, you know, tell us about yourself and you know what you do and things like that.
Well, I work at one of the hospitals and I live in Southern Dutchess. I was very surprised to learn of different sightings in the area when I started looking things up. It all started with, in 2012, my friend had called me. It was a snowy morning, and of course, hospitals don't close, so I was going to work. And she had asked me, she called me, and she said, how are the roads? I said, oh, they're fine. So I could hear her puttering around in the house, and she went to the patio doors, and she says, oh, my God. I said, what's the matter? She said, there's big footprints on my deck. So I thought maybe somebody climbed the deck and tried to break in. And she said, no, it's not boots, it's feet. They're big feet. I see the toes. She says, I don't know what it is. So I kind of dismissed it, and I went to work, which I wish I had gone over, straight over there. But the more I thought about it, the woods behind her house, and right behind the woods, there's a power line. And I remember seeing it on different Bigfoot shows that they sometimes travel along that. So I was thinking about it all day after work. I went there, and when I went on her deck, the snow was very mushy, but where the footprints were, it was packed solid. And
okay.
They were about 17 inches long. You could see the toes. Whatever it was, jumped up from the corner of her deck over to the patio door.
Okay.
Did not come up the steps. It was a very small area, so the footprints were kind of close together. So I was still puzzled by it, and I really didn't think Bigfoot was in New York. But
yeah.
I said, well...
Yeah, it's insane.
Then Finding Bigfoot came on, and they had Bigfoot in New York stories. So I had that in the back of my mind. So I went out in the yard, and we saw... It's up on a hill, we saw toe prints, very deep. And this was in January. The ground was frozen, a couple of inches at this point of snow on the ground. And I took pictures of heel prints, toe prints, and I was still a little skeptical. I showed them to some of the guys I know at the firehouse. I said, they're hunters. I said, do you know what these are? Are they from a bear or? And they said, it didn't look like a bear. And one of them kiddingly around said, oh, looks like Bigfoot prints. So that was in the back of my mind. Then in March, we had a lot of snow, and I had to clear things out of her driveway, and I walked to the backyard, and I just looked in the yard, and I saw a straight row of footprints. We went out, we measured them. They were in a complete line. You could see the toes. They were 63 inches from toe to heel. And, I mean, I was completely,
17 inches.
You know, blown away. I didn't know what to think at this point. I said, why would Bigfoot be in someone's yard? You know,
which
I just
awesome.
Thought they were, I thought they were in the mountains, and, you know, you really had to look for them. So I was still very skeptical. But
yeah, well, it's awesome because you've got a whole trackway.
Yeah.
Usually, you know, people only get like one or two footprints, and people are always like, well, why you only find one? And, you know, here they are walking through, and, you know, we're finding one print, but we're not finding multiple prints. You know, you can go on and on thinking about why, you know, the reasons why. But you legit have a full trackway that you could basically follow.
Oh, yeah. Through the yard and into the woods about, I'd say.
Yeah, that's awesome.
You know, we went in about a half a mile at least. And so we called my son up, and I said, can you bring, you know, measuring tape? And I don't know what this is. So they not really believed in Bigfoot, but when they saw that, they didn't know what to make of it. The prints were probably about 2.5 inches deep. When we walked on the snow, I mean, you can just see the pattern of our boots, basically. We didn't really sink into the snow. We followed. It went along trees. It went like it looked like it went from tree to tree. And at one point, I noticed this one tree. It looked like it was peeled, like peeled back and opened. And I said, oh, that's unusual. So that was like a focal point, so I knew where I was because everything looked different. I've never been back there in the winter.
Yeah.
And so we were taking pictures and measurements and, of course, looking at the ground. So my son took 3 pictures of everything. So when I got home, I was online looking, and I was looking, trying to find any information I can find on the peeled tree. So when I looked it up, someone had said, well, if it's a bear, they only go about 6 feet high. If it's anything much higher than that, it's not a bear, in this area anyway. So I took one of the pictures and I cropped it with just that tree in it because I had 2 others. So I just took this one and I just cropped it. And I left it at that. So a couple months later, I was looking through the pictures, and I said, oh, there's that tree. Let me see how high it went, because I know I'm 5'2", and it started about my height. So I know the bottom of it was about 5 feet. So if it went, you know, really much higher than that, then it was over 6 feet. So as I'm zooming in on it closer, in the tree in the background, I saw Bigfoot in the tree. You could see it clearly. I wish I had seen it. I would have gotten a better picture, but at this point, it's pixelated, but I can see it clearly. I couldn't believe it. You could see its whole body there. Now, on the second and third picture he took, it moved to the back of the tree. You could see that it moved in each picture. And it was
okay.
Like in a matter of seconds. He just went snap, snap, snap. I mean, I guess if you hold a button, it takes 3 pictures, the phone.
Yeah.
And never thought of looking up. I was actually underneath that tree for about 10 minutes because it was a deep print there. And I have pictures of it. And I said, oh, look at this. And it stopped at that point. So I'm saying, geez, then we picked it up further down, but it was coming towards us. You could see the footprints walking, you know, our way. And I was just puzzled. So, you know, we left it at that. I said, maybe we'll come back in a couple of days. We came back 2 days later, and whatever it was did walked along the same trackway, but at this point it was all broken up. You could see it. Maybe it walked by a couple of times.
Okay.
But when I was going to my friend's house before I got there, I had noticed we had a lot of snow that year, and there was a big snow pile from the plows on the side of the road. It had to be about 9 feet high. And draped over that were two skunks. They were just draped right over this big snowbank. And I saw it, and I said, gee, who would do something like that? How did the skunks get up there? And I drove by, you know, but on my way home, they were both gone. Well, like 3-4 hours later, they were gone. So I don't know if perhaps it was hunting in the woods, maybe looking for animals. Like I said, it was a very bad winter. And I'm sure if we had a lot of snow here, the mountains had a lot more by us. So that was my first encounter. And, you know, I kept my mind open after that. I met several researchers from the area, and, you know, we kind of got together on different things. But she continued to have, my friend continued to have footprints. We found a handprint on her patio door one time. So
okay.
I guess they are around rural areas, which I just found, you know, really surprising. And, I mean, I was happy because it was something I could research and look into. So from that point, it continued until she moved. She moved away, and I was disappointed. I said, oh, you know, I don't know what I'm going to do now. So we have a lot of walking trails by us. So I started just walking on the trails. I would go off the trail a little bit, and this one area I saw tree structures that I have seen on websites and, you know, on Facebook, on different people I follow. And I was saying, oh, maybe they're around here. Now, this was about 3 miles from the original sighting.
Okay.
I said, maybe they're around here. I saw mounds. I saw a lot of different strange things. So I frequented this area for a while. And on one of the mounds, there was some rocks. So I added them here and there, and there would be circles on this mound, like a circle of small rocks, or they would add something. So that went on for about a year. Then I noticed in another area, I call them rock structures, like the rock stackings, yeah. I started seeing them. And some of them were really, I mean, they're really great. At any given time, there's 15 or 20 of them in this area. They change quite a bit. Some are added to. Some are, you know, dismantled, and you'll see the stones in different places. There's all different color stones, shapes, sizes, and I attribute it to them. That's my feeling. I go there every week. There are times that I'll add my own rocks to something, and the next time I go back, there'll be something special there. I call it a gift. Somewhere along the line, there was an old railroad track there, and I've been finding the spikes. Yeah. Sometimes they're in the ground. Sometimes they're laying in the leaves somewhere. I found a rusted bell. There's different color rocks, and I've started noticing rocks that were in the shape of a heart. So I don't know, you know, if that they know that has meaning for us or not, but I've been seeing that. And this is what I've been doing. I've been doing this for almost 2 years.
Cool.
I record everything. I take pictures. I keep a journal of what I see, what has changed, what has been added to. And it's really fascinating. I'm just so thrilled that they're actually right here. I've spoken to people that have seen prints in their yard. They didn't know what to think of it. They thought it was people, you know, somebody drunk walking around barefoot. So now Hopefully I've made more people aware, and I do get phone calls, and they do, you know, ask me, what do you think? And I go and I, you know, look, and it's really fascinating. I have a few friends that are interested. My friend Teresa comes with me on different walks into the woods, and she's heard whoop, we've heard tree knocks. They seem to not be afraid of women, I guess. We've had no problems. We've only, you know, heard them like that. And now she's more aware of tree structures, of different things. She'll point it out to me. So I'm trying to make people aware, and I'm really enjoying it.
That's awesome. And like I say, like, the amount of activity you had in such a short period of time, it's amazing, you know. And it's like you hit the jackpot, basically. And you said a lot of things that, you know, that make sense to me as a researcher also, because, like, you know, we notice the same things and same type of things in different areas. It's awesome that you just brought up how they are different with women than they are with men. Michael, I'm going to bring you in for a second. Do you ever notice, like, when you have any kind of encounter stuff, is it different with you than it would be for your mom? Okay.
Yeah,
and what, tell us about it.
Well, we were up at an undisclosed location, but it was in Dutchess County.
Yeah.
And we had, like, a parabolic mic. And, you know, we were going over the area, and I'm kind of the audio-visual guy. So I keep track of the cameras and everything, and I go back and I edit the footage and everything. And, you know, as I was walking with another team member, and I distinctly heard, like, a purr, purr, like, just twice over like that. And I thought it was kind of a little crazy, but I said, did you just hear that? And she said, yeah. So I said, repeat it. And she repeated it in the exact same way. Seems like they have a tendency to act different, I feel. You know, if it's two women versus maybe two men or a man and a woman, it's an interesting concept.
It is, and I know I would have to almost agree with that, because throughout my past of doing this for the past about 8 years, I've been able to work with multiple different, you know, women and men and things like that, and I do see a difference with women than men. Also, I do hear a different, basically, stories and witness reports from women than I do men. I mean, when I'm in the woods myself, a couple of the things that I've had happen to me, very similar to what you said, I have them, like, kind of like grunting at me a little bit more.
Right?
Yeah, a little bit more, I guess you could say aggressively, a little bit more territorial. Things like that, which kind of puts you on, you know, makes you stop a little bit. You know, in the past, I've got the same type of reports. So that we do see, you know, we do have, you know, do see that's in common of, you know, around the whole state. So, I mean, that's great research right there in itself. And I'm so glad. Yeah. And I'm so glad, Diane, that you brought up the whole power line thing. And, you know, I always like to refer to power lines as Squatch highways. Because they're nice, wide, open areas. You know, a couple of years ago, I was fortunate to go up in Vermont, actually, where one of the Finding Bigfoot crew, they basically investigated this mountain. I was able to go up there afterwards. And I could tell you that we had a very interesting time on the mountain, on the power line section. And you sit, when you stop and you just stare at the power lines and how they go on forever almost, and you're talking, like, you know, the big, big power lines that, you know, basically we're getting, you know, and we end up seeing something in the sky that night that was weird anyway. I'm like, and you see all the satellites and stuff, which is cool. But you just stop and, like, picture, like, you know, if I was a Squatch, and actually today when I was hiking and doing a training hike, I was, you know, I did take a picture of, you know, if I was a Squatch and I was, you know, basically 10 feet tall, am I going to go through the really thick brush, or am I going to go through the pines, the, you know, power line areas, the areas that are easy to maneuver in? You know, many researchers, you know, and we got to think of it logically. I like to think of Bigfoot as in human ways, okay? And we think of it in human ways, it's going to make more sense that they're going to travel in the path of least resistance. And I'm so glad that you brought the whole railroad thing, because once again, there's multiple reports of Squatches going down the railroad tracks. Once again,
we had
that's
both
the same
of them running across.
Yeah, and
the first
and
experience had to be maybe a couple hundred feet from a power line, and then the railroad tracks, and maybe a mile down.
Yeah, and that would make sense in the fact of, you know, they can basically be on railroad tracks or be on power lines moving along, and if they have something, anything that comes that's going to disturb them, they can just dip right into the woods. So the woods are right there.
Do you believe they're migrational, though? Like, they're migrating along these paths?
It depends on the family unit, I would say. The ones that I track in the Adirondacks, I'll say yes. It's funny that you brought up something, too, that I find similar. The ones in the Catskills, the upper Catskills that I'm researching right now, they have only gone 5 miles. That's it. From 1970s to 2018, they have moved 5 miles. That's basically it. Now, the ones I research in the Adirondacks, totally different. I believe that those are the ones that go over the border to Vermont. Okay? So the ones that move. So once again, like the Whitehall area, the Scroon Lake area, that whole area of the southern Adirondacks, even in the upper and the High Peak area, they seem in Scroon Lake area, they seem to move a little bit further away. So, but I find in the Catskills, at least the group that I've looked at, they don't really move that far. And you kind of almost brought up the same thing where, you know, it was about 3 mile difference from where they, you know, where they were traveling at your friend's house all the time to now your new research area where you're doing, you know, gifting and things like that. And it would make sense because you're near, you say, the power lines and the railroad tracks. They can just move along those areas very easily. And then it's boom, they're right there. So it would depend on the family unit. So I would say yes to that. I do believe that they migrate, but also I've seen where they seem to don't migrate too much. So I'm kind of just, you know, I'm kind of left with, I don't know, you know.
I think they're like people, like you said.
Yeah. And I would say, like, what's your take on Bigfoot? Like, what do you think it could be?
Well, a lot of times I got to play within the group, I've got to play devil's advocate, you know, sometimes. Because someone's got to be there to scientifically put a side there. So there could be, you know, at least a hypothesis and, you know, changing variables. So, you know, I could believe that it's a missing link. I mean, I've heard, you know, far out stories like the ape man, when the Russians tried to breed it and it escaped. I actually talked with Finding Bigfoot when they had that show, Cliff. I met him down in a conference in Ohio. And I asked him, they had a picnic, we were the last ones out there. And I asked him his honest opinion. And I mean, that's what he said, too.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, they could just be able to cloak and, you know, they just have these abilities to, you know, only be seen for, you know, a short amount of time, you know, in just sightings.
Yeah, and when you say the word cloak, and which is really interesting too, is the fact that, you know, one thing with cloaking that, you know, I don't think that they disappear per se as far as what I believe, but, you know, with the, you ever heard of infrasound before?
Yeah, we get that on some of the pictures too.
Okay, and get audio of it too, and, you know, we actually caught audio of it, and, you know, when infrasound ends up hitting a human, it gives us a flight or fright reaction. Okay, so they could basically almost confuse us and confuse our, you know, how we perceive things at that point in time. All the largest mammals, you know, from elephants do it, whales do it, things like that. So if we are dealing with, say, like the largest primate being a Sasquatch or a human or whatever you want to call it, it would almost make sense that they would have the ability to use infrasound to hit us and basically disorient us in a way of, you know, just being confused. With that, but yeah, that's awesome. Very cool.
Yeah, when that happens though, with the infrasound, you know, I noticed that you kind of do get shut for a minute, you know, and then you kind of get back into it.
Yep, and I could tell you the real one hard time I had in the woods. We had like two or three squatches around us in our research area, and I'm a gun guy. The woods doing my thing, and there was about four of us there, and you know, I'm just going off. I always go off on my own. That's like the thing that I do, and it's not always the smartest thing to do, but I just do it. And sure enough, you know, I'm sitting there and I can hear one in front of me, and I'm like, oh, I hear one in front of me. Like, you know, where are you? Like, let me see you. Where are you? But it's nighttime and we're doing this at night. Make a long story short, out of nowhere I started getting like my gut goosebumps and I started getting nervous. Now, I don't get nervous that easy, and I'm like, what is going on? And sure enough, I started getting a headache, like a really bad headache. And, yep. then I started getting that flight or fright, like, yo, like, what's going on right now? Like, I need to get out of here. Like, I don't want to be here anymore. Like, something's going on. And what I believe for myself in that time, I was having basically getting hit with infrasound that basically was telling me, you know, get out of here. You know, we're done with you. Get out of here. This, that, and the other thing. The cool thing about that is there was a couple people there that night. I had to go to work the next morning, so I had to be out of there. But that night, one of the guys got up and he felt like he had the same thing happen to him. Like he was, and these are researchers from Ohio, and they're diehard, you know, researchers.
Oh yeah, the
and,
Ohio people are diehard.
Oh, they're diehards. They really are. I mean, I love them. They know what they're. I mean, once again, they know what they're doing too. It's nice. It's just nice to talk to those people. But he had the same thing hit him, and he was telling me about it. I'm like, yeah. So I was, because I thought I was going crazy. I'm like, yeah. I'm like, what's going on? So. There may be something to that, you know?
Yeah, that's the great thing about talking about it is everybody can kind of put an opinion in there. And together, you know, you may not come up with a census, but, you know, it's a spread of ideas and everything that keeps everything
exactly.
interesting.
Exactly. You know, as I say, working together is how we'll maybe not solve this mystery per se, but, you know, bring awareness to the subject, you know?
Yeah. I mean, it's definitely, I think, since Finding Bigfoot was canceled, I definitely think, you know, there's been more groups, but probably less people that weren't really hardcore squatchers or, you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I totally agree with you.
Kind of starting out.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah, and they kind of fell off a little bit. It's a lot of work, you know. There's a lot to try to understand about something that we don't really understand. So it's like,
right.
You know, it's tough.
I agree with you.
Tough. You know, and yeah. So Diane, I'm gonna go back to you for a second. What do you think a tree knock is? Like, what's your take on tree knocks?
I've heard them. We've both heard them, and I think it's just a warning. You know, just letting maybe others know that someone's around.
Okay.
I've never felt threatened. I've never had a problem. I did at one time hear a lot of chatter, very loud.
Okay.
And I would turn my head, it would stop. I would turn it back again without moving my body, and it would start, you know, if I looked away, it would start chattering. If I looked at, it was an area of a lot of brush and trees. So
okay.
I just had a feeling they were there, and that's where we heard the wood knocks earlier. So,
now
it's probably just they're communicating, I think, with each other more than us.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, you know, in the field, we kind of go around and say, like, what do you think they're hitting? Like, what are they using, you think, to make tree knocks?
The ones I heard sounded like rocks.
Rocks. Okay.
But it had like a rocky sound to it, like it two rocks clacked together.
Yep.
Loud.
Yep. And yeah. And that's our group's take too, as well as a lot of people think they carry sticks and do that. But I mean, I'm sure as a researcher, you can even validate that when you're picking up sticks and hitting trees in the woods, they just either snap in half and you can't recreate that sound on trees that you hear when they hit.
It's hard to
rock.
Replicate. Yeah.
It's
right.
So hot.
And maybe two rocks were more available to them than a big stick to hit on a tree. You know, at the time, you know, we don't know.
We got to figure they follow water, too.
Yeah, and think about this and what you've been saying, and then this may go more with the rocks, you know, theory, is that they're basically gifting you rocks. You're playing rock games. So, you know, they're building rock those rocks you know, they're called rock cairns. That's what we call them in the hiking world. And in the hiking world, the reason people used to build rock cairns is to, you know, those were
right.
the trail marks. Okay, so that's
right.
kind of what – That's what the structures are really called. But, you know, they're throwing more rocks in these areas and things like that. So we have, you know, validated evidence that they are carrying rocks. Also on top of that, you know, I could say for myself is I've had rocks thrown at me in the woods.
Oh, really? Yeah.
Yeah, and what throws rocks at you in the woods, you know, randomly?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But once again, that might go toward the male thing too that, you know, me and Mike were talking about before. So
right.
So it would make sense to me that maybe all these, you know, they're not carrying sticks in the woods. What they're doing is they seem to always have some rocks carrying rocks around in some way, shape, or form, and they can, like you say, either knock them together, maybe knock it on a tree. You know, same thing. You're still going to get a nice. You're still going to get that hollow knock when you knock a rock on a tree. So I mean, that's kind of what we go through too. Is, you know, our theory is, you know, it's the rock theory.
Right.
Awesome.
It's definitely
interesting.
It's
really
different areas, like you said before. I mean, we could say where we are. We're in Dutchess County, so, you know, I think, like you brought up earlier, that, you know, in each and every territory, maybe, they might act different. So it makes you almost think, you know, like they're different breeds of humans and they're different races. You know, lately I've been pondering, you know, whether there's different types, you know, like they have skunk ape and, you know, all the various types. And, you know, it's interesting what you said about that, you know, that they don't move in such, some of them, you know, migrate, some of them don't migrate.
Yeah, it's all based on them, you know what I mean? And I agree with the whole different theory of there'd be different subspecies in with the species. I mean, that just makes logical sense. Just humans are different races, you know what I mean? We have different races, there would be probably different subspecies in. Awesome.
Right.
Well, all right, well, our time is just about come to an end, and I could talk about this all night. You guys were great. Thank you so much.
We enjoyed it.
Thank you.
Yes.
I'm glad. We'll
definitely talk to you.
Awesome, man. We'll definitely have you back, and we'll talk more. There's so many subjects we can talk about this. So, but, you know, we'll definitely have you back. We'll talk more about your findings, and thank you so much for thank
sounds
you for the
great,
work.
Gary.
That's
all thank
about.
You.
All right.
No problem.
Well,
I just want to say one more thing. Anybody out there listening, just get in there, do your research, and just take notes, and then just compare it. Call Gary.
Yeah, thanks, Mike.
I appreciate
thanks,
your time.
Oh, anytime, man. So I'll definitely have you guys back, and we'll have to try to hook up to once and get out in the woods together.
That would be great.
Awesome. All right. Well, you guys have a great night.
You
too.
You as
well. Thank you.
All right. All right. Good night. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for watching.
All right, Footer Nation, I mean, that was pretty epic right there. I mean, so much information gathered just from, you know, other researchers doing the work, the boots on the ground work. I mean, that's what we all try to do. You know, we don't sit behind a computer and Google stuff all day long. You know, there's people out there doing the work, you know, in the woods, trying to do the research, but trying to do the experiments also, you know, and that's what it's about. It's about those experiments and, you know, and like-minded things happening around the whole state. Like, you know, they have very similar things that happen that we have happened, and, you know, then our clients and witnesses have happened. I mean, this is what Bigfoot research is all about, you know, getting some form of answer. We may not get the proven facts, but together the amount of evidence that piles up, I mean, we're left with, you know, listen, this is just what it is, and we're okay that we don't know why. You don't always have to know the why when you have the amount of evidence that's just sitting right there. This isn't made up stuff. This is real stuff. So that was awesome. I'm super stoked. Like I say, it's just nice to have really good people, you know, good researchers doing what they do best. And that's just getting the research done and actually enjoying it. You can tell they really enjoy it. And, you know, it's awesome. So with that said, we're basically our show's. You know, so that was awesome. I'm just kind of like, all right. So a couple of real quick hiking tips, the fastest minute in Bigfoot radio. All right. So I made a video earlier while I was out hiking, just doing a training hike, and some easy things that you can do while you're in the woods is, first off, leave bug spray in your car this time of year. Your car isn't going to be too hot. Ticks are rampant, and so are the black flies. I was getting torn up by black flies today. But once again, leave the bug spray in your car. You will always have it, and you won't complain when, you know, you come in with some ticks on you. Also, watch out for poison ivy and sumac. It's starting to come out. The leaves are nice and fresh and big. If you don't know what it looks like, Google it. Google has all your answers. So definitely watch out for that. Always bring extra water this time of year. It's starting to get hot. Even though it may not be hot at the start of your hike, by the end of the hike, you will be dehydrated. So make sure to bring extra water and snacks. Everybody enjoys eating. All right. Big one, and this is the last one because I'm running out of time. Please know your route and where you're going and plan ahead. You know, once again, you know, you have to plan ahead before you go into these areas. Don't get out into your areas and not know where you are. We go bushwhacking, which means we're going off trail. You can get lost very easily. Just pre-plan, know your area, and be ready for any kind of thing that can happen. With that being said, leave no trace, Footer Nation. It was great. Deuces.
Thank you for listening to the NYBS radio show. Tune in next time as we continue our search for Bigfoot right here in the great state of New York. Until next time, friends, keep it squatchy, and we'll see you out on the trails.